As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Did you see that game last night? I think they said the rain delay, it went to what, 1 in the morning or something?
It was horrible. And, yeah, I mean, they just sort of left them hanging. And then, of course, the Phillies had to fly a whole lot farther than Atlanta did. So that was irritating.
Yeah, it was very, very, very infuriating. No question about that. But we're looking good this season. I like the lineup. I feel good. I know you are a diehard Phillies fan. So, you know, you're excited.
Yeah, the Schwarber home run is always, you know, a mood lifter. So we'll see how they do tonight, and I think they'll probably win both the games over the weekend. So,
all right, good.
No despair yet.
Now, are you overseas right now? Because the connection's a little choppy.
No, I'm in Lancaster County.
Okay, well, that's basically overseas. Amish country is basically the same.
But I am stationary. I'm sitting still as I can, and hopefully it won't be too bad.
Because I know you were traveling. I don't know if you can say where you were, but you were traveling the world. And did you go ahead?
Yeah, no, I can. I was in UAE. I was in Abu Dhabi for a conference called the Middle East America Dialogue, MEAD. And it was really wonderful because for the first time we had a significant Israeli official presence at a Gulf, you know, conference. And it was as if we had always been doing it this way. And so it's really, I think, an important symbol of how even with a year of war, the Abraham Accords from the first Trump term have endured and remain, you know, a vital part of what is happening in what you might call the new Middle East. And so it was really encouraging. I was very happy about it.
Now, the president's traveling to Saudi Arabia soon, and maybe other countries as well. I know Caroline Levin talked about that. Do you have any insight into what the purpose of that trip is?
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, the Saudis are going to be playing an outsized role in sort of facilitating negotiations, which is just fine with me. They're a very good friend, obviously, to the United States, and it was the destination of the president's first trip in the first term. So he went to Riyadh and then on to Israel, then on to Rome, sort of doing an Abrahamic tour, if you will. This time it sounds like he will also visit UAE and Qatar in the Gulf, as well as Saudi Arabia. And then I would expect he will either stop by Israel on the way back or make another trip just to go to Israel.
That would be a big deal, obviously, if the president went to Israel at this moment, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, President Biden, to his credit, did go in October of 2023, but, you know, sort of soured on the whole thing pretty quickly afterwards. But I think, you know, President Trump would rightly be welcomed as a hero if he came to Israel now for everything that he and the new administration have been doing to support.
He has said repeatedly that he's been the greatest president for Israel. And I mean, certainly moving the capital, recognizing the capital as Jerusalem, not moving it, but, you know, recognizing it, moving our embassy to Jerusalem meant a big deal. But the friendship that he has with Netanyahu is very strong. When Netanyahu announced that Israel was going to remove all trade barriers that they have to the United States of America and all tariffs as well, do you imagine that there might be some reciprocity announced to Israel when the president goes there?
I think it might happen before then. This is pretty straightforward. And, you know, I think there are a bunch of things we could do to enhance our existing free trade agreement with Israel, which is historically the first one we ever signed. It was under President Reagan. He did an FTA with Israel in the 1980s. And I think making it easier for Israeli startups to incorporate in the United States, so we're bringing those businesses to the United States, is something we could look into. And, you know, they obviously buy a lot more of our stuff than we buy of their stuff, just on general terms. But there can always be more, you know, given the size of the markets. I'm sorry, I got that reversed. We buy a lot more of their stuff than they do of ours, because we are hundreds of millions of people and they are 9 million people. But it's, you know, more free trade is a great thing. And I was in Naples after we were in UAE for a heritage retreat with your friend, AJ Antoni. And we actually spoke on a panel together this morning. And he was saying, you know, that you know, as the president seems to be going now with the tariffs, what we're going to get in down the road is more free trade. And that is what, as heritage, we want to see. And I think with Israel, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I want to see it as well. And I do think it's going to result in freer, fairer trade for everybody. Obviously, there's the China issue. The big story yesterday, that a Chinese official admitted in December that they had found a way and had been on multiple occasions hacking into our digital infrastructure, where they could hack into our internet using routers and modems, and they could potentially shut down water systems, they could shut down electrical grids. And the idea behind it is that this Chinese official said that because they wanted the United States to know that, in other words, they were authorized to say so. They wanted us to know what they could do to us. Can they do that? And how concerned should we be with that, Dr. Victoria Coates?
I think we should be quite concerned. And the whole story is weird. This was a meeting that took place in December with the Biden administration. So why is it coming out in the Wall Street Journal now? And yeah, it was very weirdly sourced for the journal. Nobody would go on the record. They wouldn't talk about who these people are. It seems to me this was a Chinese sourced story. They want this in the news. And, you know, on the one hand, it's like that scene out of Casablanca, you know, we're shocked that gambling is happening.
Right. Yes.
This is not a surprise that they're trying to hack us. But at the same time, it's kind of a thug move. You know, we could take you down anytime. And it's something, you know, we have worked on and thought about a lot of heritage, how we secure our critical systems. I think not enough has been done. And, you know, we are way too vulnerable to China in a lot of our systems, particularly in drones. That's somewhere I'm hoping we see a big uptick in domestic production and also Israeli production. There are other partners who make them as well, but we should not be buying Chinese drones. And then we also, this is what the president is talking about when he talks about the Golden Dome for the United States, that we would be able to protect our critical infrastructure, you know, using a multi-layered missile defense system like what has been developed for Israel.
It just seems that, you know, we manufacture our modems, our routers, our computers over in China. What's to stop them from putting hardware or software into these products that they could theoretically use to their advantage if they wanted to?
I think the big reset that is happening right now, and it's everything. It's why we've been really concerned about electric vehicles, because, you know, anyone who has OnStar on their car, one of the things they tell you is if your car has been stolen, we can stop it. We can disable it. So that's not complicated or unusual technology. And you've got to bet they're building that into every single car they're making. So if they wanted to create a problem for us, they could. And then you talk about all these other things which seemed innocent 10 years ago. But now you see the weaponization of this kind of technology, and it's why we're really interested in supporting the president's policies to both homeshore everything that we can, but things we can't that don't make sense to be made here. What are we doing to work with our partners in India, for example, to make sure that they, you know, they are an easy place to do business, aligned with the United States, not putting this kind of, you know, backdoor vulnerability into our technology. And so going forward, the other thing we'll be talking about a lot in coming weeks is 6G. I know we all feel like we've just gotten 5G. Not all of us even have 5G, but 6G is coming. And if we don't have an off-the-shelf gold standard, so we can go to partners like UAE and say, no, don't use Huawei, use this. This is Samsung, Ericsson, American companies, and this is clean, and we can do business with you if you have these systems. If you have Huawei, you know, we can't. We just simply can't. It's too dangerous. But we have to be proactive on that. The burden will be on us.
Yeah, and that makes sense, right? Dr. Victoria Coates is with me. She is, of course, the vice president of the Davis Institute for National Security and Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation, also the author of the book, The Battle for the Jewish State, How Israel and America Can Win. I mean, if we can't make them here, and obviously the goal would be, and it'd be great if we could, if we can build our routers, our modems, if we can do all these things here. But even our TVs can spy on us, and I mean, everything can spy on us nowadays. So moving them out of China for production to a friendly country is much better. Obviously, the goal would be, you know, manufacture as much as you can here in the United States of America, but at least to a friendly country, because we can't trust China, especially after this story broke. And then the other aspect of it, too, is we find out that 7 or 8 members of our military came back from Wuhan in the fall of 2019, the Military World Games. They had COVID-like symptoms. The Biden administration covered up this report that should have been released in 2022. Clearly, China, we cannot trust them here. And so it's obvious, whether it's COVID or whether it's our antibiotics being made over there, the supplies we would need if there was a viral outbreak, which obviously an antibiotic wouldn't do anything for, but, you know, the masks or whatever, PPEs, uh-huh. whatever, and our technology. I mean, we're so dependent upon this country to make literally everything that with in this world we live in, there's a national security component to all this stuff, too. It's not just merely matters of convenience of buying something cheaply made in Amazon.
No, and I mean, this doesn't even pass the laugh test anymore, what went down, you know, in Wuhan in 2019 and 2020. And I don't care anymore whether they did it on purpose or whether they did it and covered it up. The fact of the matter is they did it, and we all suffered for it. And so we can only imagine what they might be willing to do again. So we have to be protected from it, and we can't be vulnerable to it. And I think that is what is behind a lot of the actions that President Trump is taking right now, is to break that dependency. And, you know, one idea I tossed out to our Heritage group last night was, what if when you went on Amazon, in the upper right-hand corner of the screen of where you're clicking on in the picture frame or the closed steamer or whatever it might be, there was the flag of the country of origin.
Yeah.
How many Americans would choose to buy something that might cost $4 or $5 more but wasn't made in China? I think there are a lot that would make a dent in that and make us a less desirable market for China. So they won't spend so much time trying to hook us on these cheap goods, and we would have the option. I mean, I think that would be fantastic for Jeff Bezos. I think you'd drive traffic toward Amazon if you had that just easy visual. I can see it. It's a Chinese flag. It's an American flag. You know, it's a Canadian flag. I still like the Canadians. I know it's a controversial position right now, but, you know, it's a hot take. But it's, you know, that I think that would be a really easy way to give people an option, you know, because so many times I'll order something, I can't tell where it's made. It'll show up. Yeah. It'll say made in China, and I'll be disappointed. I wouldn't have done that had I had, you know, an easy way to figure that out. So I think these are the kinds of things. It's almost like having a victory garden during World War II, where you give Americans an option to do something sort of basically patriotic. And yeah, it's a little bit of effort for us, but at the same time, it gets us into a better place. So I mean, there are much bigger, grander things that the president's doing, but I'd also look at some fairly small, low-cost fixes like that, too.
Well, I think it's a great idea. I really do, because I try to buy American whenever I can. I was saying earlier in the show, I bought these pizza pans, which are made, this company out in Washington makes them, and you know they're made in America. I bought them. But a lot of times I try to buy products on Amazon, and I notice how many Chinese knockoffs there are. And it's very obvious the intellectual property theft is a real problem for manufacturers around the world. So I think that's a great idea. It's an excellent idea. And personally, when it comes to anything that can spy on me, I want nothing to do with a product that's made in China. And as I'm saying that, I'm realizing I have an iPhone that's made in China. I've got a MacBook that's made in China. I've got a TV that's made in China. I'm not happy about it. I imagine that the Comcast modem that I have is probably made in China as well. And all of these
things that they could...
Yeah, and I mean, and if they have the ability to infiltrate our digital infrastructure, if there's even a remote chance that could happen, I don't want that to happen. And maybe we're too late on this. I don't know. But, man, that would be a great change just right there. So excellent idea, Dr. Victoria Coates. But let's turn to Russia for a moment, because there was another story regarding the undersea cables. And I mean, I haven't heard the term undersea cable in I can't remember how long. But apparently there are these cables that stretch under the Atlantic Ocean, and Russia theoretically could cut those and then turn off the internet and God only knows what else?
It's more of a problem for Europe than for us. Yes, there are some transatlantic cables, but we are somewhat insulated from that in our infrastructure. So it's not a good thing, but it's not dire. It is dire for Europe. And you can, I mean, these maps are open source of where this stuff is. And if you look at it, you look at the cables that are running up through the Red Sea, through the Suez Canal, into the Mediterranean Sea. I mean, this is literally an information highway. And starting about 18 months ago, both Russian and, importantly, Chinese so-called commercial vessels started having accidents with their anchors in the Baltic Sea. This was no accident. They were testing to see what kind of damage they could do. And the Nordics and the Baltics are very cognizant of this. They put more ships into the Baltic Sea. The activity has stopped right now. But I always thought that was extremely chilling, that we had Chinese vessels engaging in this, you know, this kind of activity in Europe. And there are rumors that there are Chinese soldiers as well as North Korean soldiers in Russia now. That's not been confirmed. The North Koreans have been confirmed, but the reporting is out there that the Chinese are active here, too. And so, you know, this is another reason I think the president is absolutely correct to get the war in Ukraine wrapped up. So we're not encouraging this kind of behavior going forward. But wow, I think the Europeans need to pay attention to this, because this is their security. It's not something that we can just kind of do for them.
Let's turn to Iran for a moment, if we could, Dr. Victoria Coates. There's a story in Axios about a person that Tulsi Gabbard, the director of national intelligence, has installed. His name is William Ruger, and he is going to be a key position in her department when it comes to writing the PBM for the president when it comes to Iran and other matters of intelligence as well. Tell us about this individual.
Yeah, Will Bruger is a friend of mine and a very good guy. I mean, I'm really disappointed. You know, there are some folks I don't really agree with who have gone into the administration. That is the president's choice. It is not mine. But somebody like Will Bruger, who served in the Navy, he was President Trump's choice to be ambassador to Afghanistan in the first term. You know, is he a little bit more libertarian than I am? I mean, I wish you could have him on your show, Rich. I think you'd agree with him a great deal. Sure, he is a little bit more, but at the same time, he is thoughtful. He has been a committed servant to America. He is very, very intelligent. He is very well informed. And so, you know, I have certainly not found him a wild-eyed isolationist who wants to give everything to America's enemies. And I think, you know, given the sensitivities around the presidential daily brief, the PDB, you know, and what President Trump wants versus what he's been getting from the IC, I think it's perfectly appropriate to have someone like Will on that team. And I hate to see, you know, the Republican establishment just close ranks automatically when it's somebody who they feel isn't on their orthodox main page. And I think we would do well to listen to some of those voices, talk to them, find out what he thinks, because heaven knows we don't have a perfect record on intelligence collection or analysis. So I think this is a tempest in a teapot, and I think everybody should calm down and not throw a very good public servant under the bus.
Yeah, and you know the story from Axios, the headline, I'll just share with everybody. Gabbard installs Iran dove to prepare Trump's intel briefing. And thank you for correcting me on the proper PBD, right?
PDB, yeah.
Yeah, that's... And Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, who I think is one of the greatest senators out there, told Axios that Will is a solid choice. He has honorably served our country and brings a wealth of knowledge and experience to the table. This is the kind of principled leadership we need more of in Washington. Donald Trump said no Koch people should serve. The Koch brothers should serve. And at some point, he's going to realize that his administration has become littered with them, said a GOP congressional official, because I guess at some point, William Ruger had worked as vice president of the Charles Koch Institute. So he's a skeptic of military action. But, I mean, isn't our president skeptic of military action? Isn't that part of why he won? Because he's skeptical of military action? I think that's why he was successful in both the primary and the general election.
Yes, and that was the record of his first term. And I think, you know, that is why he picked Tulsi Gabbard to be DNI. This should be in no way surprising. And from my perspective, my conversations with Will about Iran, I understand he doesn't want to get embroiled in a war. But at the same time, he's not naive about what a nuclear Iran would mean and, you know, why that should be a concern and why we should look at options. And he's also been very supportive of Israel. So, again, these are the president's choices and the choice of the people he installed in his cabinet who have all been duly confirmed by the United States Senate. And rather than, you know, toss out what's become sort of a boogeyman for the Republican establishment and the Koch brothers and say, oh, my goodness, you know, some horrible thing. Again, I would read what Will's written. He's written extensively. I would engage him if one has the opportunity to do so, but, you know, but not just kind of create this specter that if we don't simply hire the same people who have been hired over and over since the George W. Bush administration, catastrophe is going to result. I think quite the opposite. So they said, I appreciate the opportunity to speak up for Will, to stand up and be counted as one of his friends and just encourage everyone to calm down a little bit about this.
No, I'm glad. I really am. No, I appreciate you saying this. I'm glad you're making these points. I'm glad this is a good opportunity for you to do so. And I'll make sure that I continue to echo those points because, let's face it, we've had a lot of, there are a lot of warmongers in Washington. Can you explain to me why Mitch McConnell was the only senator to vote against Bridge Colby in his capacity at the Pentagon?
Yeah, again, Bridge, also a good friend, colleague from the first term. We as Heritage have strongly supported his nomination. And again, there are some things I disagree with Bridge on. And we've had a lot of conversations about the Middle East and Iran. You know, he was a very important voice in the first term to get everyone focused on what was happening with China. And, you know, I thought that to some extent, this led him to be over-focused on China. And so we've had very robust conversations. He's a friend of Heritage, has visited us repeatedly to discuss these things. So he's in no way, you know, opposed to views. But there was a concerted campaign about 4 weeks ago. And unfortunately, Senator Cotton, who I also admire, got involved in this to say, oh, you know, Bridge Colby is everything that ails the world. No, he is not. You know, he is a strong, principled voice, an author of a very good book on China and, you know, very, very important to how the president's thinking was formed during the first term. And so I think he'll be particularly important in terms of supporting Secretary Hegseth. I think we do need to have that kind of laser focus on China. And he's told me I can continue to call him and give him a hard time about the Middle East. So I'm OK about that.
That's good. Look, I mean, we need a lot of different opinions in the room. I think it's important, and it we have to have those opinions in the room. And I understand, you know, President Trump likes to talk tough, and he's talking very tough on Iran right now. I had to calm my mother down about this because, you know, she doesn't want to see us go to World War III. I said, look, this is what President Trump does. You know, he talks very, very strong, and he doesn't mess around. He needs our enemies to fear us because that's At the end of the day, how we're going to remain peaceful is if they fear us and they stay in their lane. I mean, I truly believe that. You were dealing with some very crazy people out there in some very, very unstable countries where, I mean, even China, for example, I mean, their economy is not as strong as everybody thinks it is. And, you know, Putin's grip on power in Russia, for example, is not as strong as everybody thinks it is. So the best way to keep these people in their lane is to make them fear us. I just truly believe that, Dr. Coates.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, there's a lot of grandstanding about how we have to solve the Palestinian issue. This is a vital national security issue for the United States. No, it's not. You know, that at this point is becoming an internal security issue for the Israelis. That nuclear Iran is a problem for the United States, because during the Biden administration, they both made very significant progress on our on their nuclear program. I recommend Rob Greenway's Twitter feed for anyone who wants the details of how that went down, my colleague at Heritage. But the other thing they made a lot of progress on during Biden was missile delivery systems for a nuclear weapon. Every time they launch a satellite, no, that's not a satellite. That's a prototype for an intercontinental ballistic missile. And the reason you have those is so you can strike Europe or the United States. This is a problem for us. So I think, but at the same time, this does not necessarily mean World War III. If you remember, the Israelis have taken out two supposedly civil nuclear programs in Iraq and Syria over the last 35 years. In neither case did it result in a war. In neither case were there significant civilian casualties. And they would obviously be lead. Of course, I would hope we would support them, because this is in our interests, too, and we want to do it right. If we have to, as the president has said, he said he wants to avoid it. I support him in that. I support Special Envoy Witkoff in his talks tomorrow in Oman with his Iranian counterparts. I admit my hopes aren't high, but it's worth trying. But in the event this has to be done, there's no reason to think that it is immediately going to result in World War III. And I think, I mean, I totally understand Mama Zioli's concerns. you know, everyone is concerned. But I think she should be reassured that both this administration and the Israelis also have a vested interest in avoiding a broader war. And I think they will take every measure to do that.
Well, thank you for reassuring Mama Zioli. Your work here is done, Dr. Victoria Coates. have a great weekend, my friend. If you have not read her book, please read her book. It's essential reading. You will learn so much about American foreign policy, and the answers are all there for what we need to do. It's The Battle for the Jewish State, How Israel and America Can Win. And please follow Dr. Victoria Coates on X, because her Twitter feed is outstanding. And, of course, there's no bigger Phillies fan besides the fanatic. So
all good.
All right, my friend. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
You too. Take care.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zioli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
There's a ton of stuff coming out about Operation Crossfire Hurricane. 700 documents that were classified have been turned over by the FBI Director Kash Patel to Jim Jordan and Just the News. I'm going to get into that with you before the show's over today. We're going to talk about the impact of coal with our buddy Daniel Turner. But I want to tell you, you know, I love the happy hour because I love the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. And if you have not yet thought about your Memorial Day plans, what are you waiting for? Memorial Day is right around the corner. It's April 11th. What are you doing? You've got to make your Memorial Day plans today. And think about your June midweek stays. The longer you stay, the more you will save, because you'll get resort credits for your June midweek stay. So do that today by going to GrandHotelCapeMay.com. And thank you to Grand Hotel for sponsoring our happy hour. We appreciate that very, very much. Okay, so we're coming right back. More to come, more from the White House press briefing as well. So don't go away.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
A couple things to get to. So Josh Duhamel is an actor. I think I'm saying his name right. Duhamel. You might have seen him on the show Las Vegas. He's been in a bunch of different things. He's got a Cybertruck, a Tesla Cybertruck. And he was on Adam Carolla's podcast. And he talked about how often he gets flipped off, given the bird. This is cut number 20.
It's a different you know, world than it was when I first started.
Yeah.
It's not. You just got to really. So for me, stay out of politics. If I start talking politics, I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to piss somebody off.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Yes, you will.
And more than ever. I mean, dude, I bought a Cybertruck.
Yeah.
I bought this before it all started hitting the fan.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many people have flipped me off.
Really?
Driving down the streets like daily. 10 times a day.
Really?
Yeah.
It is.
I'm like, why are you so angry, man? I thought I was doing something for the environment. Jeez, leave me alone.
It's uncanny. Well, but did every once in a while some guy do f*** you and then yell Vegas sucked?
No, not yeah, they, it's all they about don't know the truth. I just feel like I'm the devil because I'm driving this truck. Like,
it
man.
Is. It's bizarre and it's nonsensical. And it's borderline insane, or maybe it is insane. Maybe it's not borderline.
It's insane, and it's organized, too. So Chris Rufo has a piece in the New York Post about this today, and it goes on to talk about how the campaign against Tesla is led up by all these various different Democrat-aligned organizations, and there's a lot of money behind this. In fact, there's a group right here in Philadelphia called the Disruption Project. It's a Philadelphia-based far-left organizing group, was initially identified as a host or co-sponsor of the Tesla takedowns protests at the Action Network event listings. And the Disruption Project's founder, a man named Jeff Ordower, a longtime activist whose background runs the gamut of professional left-wing activism. He trained at the AFL-CIO's Organizing Institute, led the Missouri chapter of ACORN, and worked for both SEIU and the Industrial Areas Foundation. He was involved in the Clinton Global Initiative. He was involved with Occupy Wall Street, the George Soros Open Society Foundation, and many other left-wing groups. And according to his professional biography, Ordower calls himself an itinerant organizer who spends a lot of his time thinking about sustained mass action. In his writing, he describes moments of social turmoil as ruptures, critical junctures when traditional institutions fail to control public unrest, creating opportunities for political and cultural transformation. And there's other groups that are mentioned in here as well, but what they all do with this is they use plausible deniability so that you can't link them directly to all this. The third tier is the smallest and included those with the greatest commitment to radical action as well. So there's different tiers here of people behind all this stuff. But essentially now, take the Disruption Project. Do they endorse violence, for example? Its about page offers a qualified defense of nonviolence. While we are inclined to think that emboldened mass action creates bolder mass action, which begets a nonviolent overthrow of these systems, we have the utmost respect for those who are trying to win and consolidate structural reforms at this time. Such language, Chris Rufo points out, creates plausible deniability, even as it endorses what it refers to euphemistically as uprisings, resistance, and mass direct action, which do not include revolutionary violence as a possibility. A similar pattern of non-denial denial is apparent with Tesla Takedown, the group behind it. And the protest strategy that they use with all these campaigns is weaponized ambiguity. They draw headlines, and the militant wing goes out there to do the dirty work, essentially, now. And because of the campaign's massive scope, as well as First Amendment constraints, law enforcement and policymakers have been slow to recognize the far left's activist ecosystem. Those responsible for our security need to understand how violent and nonviolent agitators work together to advance their revolutionary goals. So you see, the person who's keying Tesla's, it may be a random actor, but the entire effort is being organized and promulgated by these very far left groups. Bottom line. There's information coming out today about Crossfire Hurricane. I'll get into that with you in the next hour. But one thing that just came out a few moments ago, actually, is that Lisa Page, you remember Lisa Page? She was the lover of Peter Strozak, Mr. Strozak, Peter Strzok, basically saying that. So these 700 documents that were classified, Kash Patel now as FBI director is releasing them to Jim Jordan and also releasing them to Just the News. And the story that came out now is that Lisa Page was the attorney with the FBI. She and Peter Strzok were having an affair, and they wrote at one point, this guy can't be elected president. And she said, he won't, we'll stop him. Or he said that, I forget which one, but FBI Lisa Page's chilling admission, if they start digging deep, we are screwed. Newly declassified Crossfire Hurricane documents reveal FBI attorney Lisa Page's fear that the media, following a New York Times article, might start digging deep into the Crossfire Hurricane investigation, exposing their plot to undermine President-elect Donald Trump. On November 7, 2016, Lisa Page reacted to a New York Times article about Russian propaganda efforts tied to the 2016 election, specifically mentioning lots of HRC-related emails. Her response in a message to colleagues, if they start digging deep, we are screwed. This is the big story of the hour, by the way, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com. If you've been putting off getting that free implant consultation, stop putting it off and go see Dr. Mike today. Just go to VenariaDental.com. Page also emphasized the need to maintain the FBI's good guys image to remind people that we are still the good guys trying to keep America safe and not political operatives who sway elections. This admission of public perception shows at a deliberate cover-up, a plot to sway the election aftermath against Trump. And there was panic over Crossfire Hurricane, and they were also discussing the Podesta emails and Obama's potential use of a Yahoo account, that Barack Obama, as president, may have used a Yahoo account, an insecure platform that had been compromised in a massive 2014 breach. Raises serious national security concerns, as it implies that foreign actors who were behind the Podesta hack, the hack of Leon Podesta's email, or John Podesta's emails, excuse me, he was the chief of staff, could have accessed sensitive communications involving the sitting U.S. president. So there's a lot that's coming out on this, and it's all coming out on Friday. I'll have more for you on this, but basically we're going to try to get Michael Pelkley just gave us a really good guy, Matt, we can get for Monday who can come on the show to really help break this down for us. So that would be great. From the White House press briefing today, a couple things I wanted to share with you from Caroline Leavitt. She talked about an issue. Let's see here. I sent this to you guys earlier today. She said the supply chain, I'm sorry, tariff and trade agenda to bolster our trade and manufacturing agenda here at home. She took a question on this today. Take a listen.
I actually want to give a voice to the American people. I sourced a question from one of my listeners. Her name is Bryn. She is from Oregon. And she asked, what, if any, plans do you have, the administration, for the money that will be generated by tariffs imposed on foreign goods? How will the administration facilitate the development of American industries when many critical components, labor, parts, etc., are much cheaper and more feasible from foreign entities?
It's a great question from your listener, and I want to thank her for submitting it to you to ask. That's the part of the new media seat, is so that everyday Americans across the country have a voice in this room. So thank you again for being here. Thanks for the question. The president's point about his trade and tariff agenda is to bolster our manufacturing industries here in our country, to bring down the cost of living here in our country, and to ensure that we are maintaining critical supply chains here in America. We cannot be dependent on countries like China if we want this country to be strong and wealthy. So the president wants to restore wealth to America by shoring up these jobs here at home, which will result in good-paying jobs and higher wages for the American public. And so Americans should trust in that process. He effectively implemented tariffs in his first term while driving down the cost of living in this country, and that's what he's focused on doing again. Thank you.
She went on to say that there are 15 deals in the works right now that could be announced as early as within a couple weeks. Good, excellent. I think the sooner we can announce some deals here, the better. She also confirmed that Steve Witkoff is in Russia, direct communication with the Kremlin and Vladimir Putin. This is also good news towards world peace. Cut number five.
And can you update us on Mr. Witkoff in Russia and what's happening with direct communications with Vladimir Putin?
I can confirm that Mr. Witkoff is in Russia to have direct communications with the Kremlin and with Vladimir Putin. This is another step in the negotiating process towards a ceasefire and an ultimate peace deal in Russia and Ukraine. As these negotiations are ongoing, I obviously will not get ahead of the president or his team, but I think the president has been quite clear that he's been continually frustrated with both sides of this conflict, and he wants to see this fighting end. He wants the war to end. We believe we have leverage in negotiating a deal to a peace deal, and we're going to use that leverage, and the president is determined to see this through.
Dr. Coates alluded to the issue of Iran not having a nuclear weapon, but that we should not be panicking, and she reassured Mama Zioli that we're not going to have World War III here. Caroline Levitt addressing the direct talks with the Iranians, cut number six.
Well, I have spoken to both the president and also his national security team, who will be engaged in these discussions. These will be direct talks with the Iranians, and I want to make that very clear. I also spoke to the president just last night about his goal when it comes to Iran, and he has reiterated repeatedly to all of you publicly and also privately to his team here at the White House, his ultimate goal and the ultimate objective is to ensure that Iran can never obtain a nuclear weapon. The president believes in diplomacy, direct talks, talking directly in the same room in order to achieve that goal. But he's made it very clear to the Iranians, and his national security team will as well, that all options are on the table, and Iran has a choice to make. You can agree to President Trump's demand, or there will be all hell to pay. And that's how the president feels. He feels very strongly about it.
And the lesser Al Green, a lunatic who obviously talked about dastardly deeds done dirt cheap. Well, Al Green's back at it again. Remember, he's the crazy guy that was waving the cane at the president of the United States when he was joint address to Congress. Well, an unhinged Al Green has revealed a side of himself. This is cut number 12. It's a sign of himself shaking his cane at President Trump as he talks and says that America is in a countdown to impeachment. Don't forget, he's already filed articles of impeachment because he says that President Trump has violated the dastardly deeds done dirt cheap clause of the Constitution, cut 12.
Impeachment is imminent. The filing of articles of impeachment is imminent. We are currently in a countdown to impeachment. Now, those who know me know that I wouldn't say this if I were not going to move on with it. So I don't know what you have up your sleeve, but I do know that we will prevent you from having a third term. And the best way to do it is to not have you finish this term. And the best way to do this is to have you impeached and convicted and removed from office. It can be done. I'm telling you it can be done. The law says it can be done. We but only have to have the will to do it. The way is before us. The will is what is necessary to implement the way to an impeachment and a removal of Donald John Trump.
You know, it's important to note he's just talking to himself. Like, literally, there's nobody in the House of Representatives right now. He's just standing up there giving what are known as floor speeches. Matt DeSantis, do you think that's going to motivate everybody, that rousing speech you just heard right there?
I'm sure Republicans have changed tune and now they hate Donald Trump, and it's all thanks to Al Green's passionate speech on an empty House floor.
With the picture of himself shaking his cane at President Trump. We have the way. All we need is the will. Yeah, you also need the votes, genius. So where there's a will, there's a way. Where there's a way, there's a will. You keep trying there, Al Green. Oh, and what's that whack job? What's her name? Jasmine Crockett? We got a couple of clips of her today. So she wants the president to take a mental competency test or something like that, too, I think.
Yeah, cut number 11 if you want to hear her.
Not really. Do I have to?
I say yes.
Ugh, fine. This she went all in with Chris Hayes or maybe Rachel Maddow. Hard to tell. Cut 11.
that no one is questioning his mental acuity or fitness to serve is beyond wild to me, right? Like, the fact that they sat around, called Joe Biden, sleepy Joe Biden, and as I said before, at least you could sleep at night because you didn't have to worry about your 401k disappearing overnight. You didn't have to worry about these allegations of fake invasions. You didn't have to worry about the cost of food just skyrocketing, or skyrocketing cost of all of your electronics. You know, the fact that Apple was flying in planes of iPhones before the tariffs hit, like, this is crazy work for no reason. So, you know, I just hope
I can't take it. I'm sorry. That's all I can do. I can't. That's all I can take. By the way, the Dow ended in the green today. So did the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ. That's all I can take, Matt DeSantis. What was that, 30 seconds?
Yeah, you didn't make it to the end of the clip, but I kind of suspected that you weren't going to. And also, related to the president's health, I don't know if you saw this headline from the New York Times earlier, Maggie Haberman. Trump is obviously undergoing a physical. It's his first since retaking office. And the little headline is, the president has often been guarded about even the most basic information about his health. The nerve after they never even – was Maggie Haberman ever asking questions about Biden's cognitive health? I don't recall.
No, but at least you could sleep at night. Justin, what did you say regarding her accent?
No, I talked about it with Matt while the clip was playing, but I said it in a text. I said, the private school princess is just putting on the fake accent again.
Private school princess putting on the fake accent again. Boom. Justin for the win. But yeah, Matt, you're right. They didn't really spend a lot of time asking about Biden's health, did they? No. We were just told everything was fine.
Also, Jasmine Crockett is everywhere all of a sudden, and there's polling trying to pinpoint who the leader of the Democrat Party is. She's obviously not number one, but just the fact that she's like perpetually in the top 10 is mind-boggling to me. And AOC, I think, is number one more often than she isn't, which I can't wrap my mind around that. I don't know how the party could view those two and say, there's the future.
There's the future. Yeah, it's a long cut. I don't have time to play it right now, but her going on about sanctuary cities when you've got a felon in the White House who's been convicted, again, calling Republicans racist because they want to end sanctuary cities. I say the more you let Jasmine Crockett go out there with her fake accent, the better it is for the Republican Party. Just put her out there everywhere. Let her be the spokesperson. Or as Justin put it, I want to make sure I get the wording right, private school princess putting on the fake accent again. Boom. That's what I'm talking about. Excellent. And poor Peter Ducey had a bird attack him today. Did you see that? It was like out of a freaking Hitchcock movie.
That's a great clip. Cut 21.
Here we go. Take a watch and a listen.
Right. So. Yeah, Peter, I appreciate it.
A bird just landed on my head.
What is going on?
Is that a bird?
What was that about?
I did not like that at all.
Peter, the back of your head, your hair is standing up now.
I mean, you got good hair, though.
What is going on?
That's probably so dirty.
That had to be scary.
That's probably so dirty.
Right. Did he say dirty or scary?
I know. Hey, President Trump, if you're watching upstairs, we got to do something about these birds.
Absolutely.
Where's the Park Service?
Oh, man. That's unfortunate for him. But can we put up the picture of the pizza that we talked about earlier on the show? Because we need to talk about that in the YouTube chat before I go to break. That pizza is hideous looking. And I just want everybody to really look at that.
Justin and I have been discussing it off air for far longer than we probably should. And we've decided it looks like a frozen pizza that they just sprinkled fresh basil on top of.
That's actually, you guys might be onto something. It looks like a frozen tombstone pizza. You're right. And then they just threw some basil on it to make it look Italian, right?
Exactly. That's what we're thinking.
I think you guys are onto something here. I think you guys are right on the money. All right. Coming up, Daniel Turner, we're going to talk about the coal deregulation, what it means to the American economy, and breaking news around Crossfire Hurricane. Turns out the Russians were paying, the FBI was paying an informant to lie about Russia and Donald Trump. We'll tell you all about that as well. But listen, June in Cape May is a wonderful time to be there. It's a great time to be there. And you can stay and save with their June midweek specials. You stay three nights, you're going to get $60 a night in resort credits. You stay five nights, you're going to get $70 in resort credits. And seven nights gets you $80 a night in resort credits, which is fantastic because you can use that right on site at Hemingway's restaurant, the outdoor pool bar, beach concession stand, take the kids on a whale watching trip. You can do it all at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. And I love this time of year at the Grand Hotel. So you should think about going in April or May. Memorial Day weekend's great. And our first live show is going to be on June 20th. So make sure you mark your calendar down for Friday, June 20th at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. And take advantage of the June midweek stay, get those resort credits, and you'll save a lot of money and have a wonderful vacation. The best part about the Grand Hotel is the outdoor heated pool, but then there's also an indoor heated pool in case it rains. And you have beachfront access right there. And if you're looking for a place to have a wedding or corporate event, look no further than the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. My friend Caitlin will help you plan the event of your dreams. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.